dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Talanx Investor Relations podcast. Today's episode is about the Women at Talanx Network. For this, I would like to welcome my two interview partners, the speaker of the network, Caroline Schlienkamp, member of the board of HDI Service AG and head of group legal at Talanx, and Jasmin Glehn, head of operations live at HDI Systeme AG.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks to both of you for being here today and for taking the time to speak with me to our listeners about Women at Talanx. You are two of the 12 founders of the network Women at Talanx, created in 2015. How did you come up with the idea, Caro?
Actually, the idea came from human resources. They started a series of events in 2015 and invited all female leaders in the group, including Hannover Re. But after a year, they had to find out that a network is not founded by pushing a button, but that it needs more and more engagement of the women itself. So what they did is that they invited a certain group of women that they know had some interest in forming such a network. And we had a workshop with an external advisor and came up with the structure and organization that is pretty much the same today. Then the most work we had to do was to find women who were willing to put themselves as heads of this network, actually. And this is where Jasmin came into the game.
Yes, and when Caro called me first, I was really a bit skeptical. But when I understood that the first set of women which founded the network had the same mindset and ideas in mind for the network, I agreed. And today I'm really proud to be a part of this wonderful and powerful network.
Thank you. Can you tell us more about how the network understands and organizes itself? What are the goals?
Yes, for sure. Our network is organized in a good structure because we already have more than 400 members in Germany, including Hannover Re. So we are the largest network in the Talanx Group worldwide. We have an elected board of women that consists of 16 women from our different German organizations. The board is responsible for the goals and the development of the network, for questions of the members, and is also responsible for the communication, especially to Talanx board members, the diversity manager, or HR. So we have different constantly existing working groups for marketing and events, for pension, for social time and responsibility for children and parents, where women who are interested in this field can share their knowledge and offer a service for the network. So everyone can bring in their knowledge or interest, even if it's not their main job at Talanx, for example. And our most used format for our network is our so-called roundtable. Here, every woman can offer a time slot to share knowledge and discuss themes with other interested colleagues, where our offerings include personal development, for example, for finding my own purpose, for resilience or stress management, but also for our development and exchange in business topics like cyber insurance or behavioral analytics. This engagement is all given by the women in their free time and they use it quite extensive. But our absolute highlight is our yearly network event, where we meet each other normally in person, but now online to network, talk to one of our board members and get insights from inspiring speakers to gain new impulses from our network members. So this is how it works.
Shelley, you also asked for our goals, and I think it is most important to say that we are neither a workers' council nor are we a trade union, but we understand ourselves as a network of women that support and empower themselves. So we try to encourage expert discussions. We want to bundle expertise, but also we want to obtain equal opportunities and in the end, achieve a balance between men and women in leading positions, of course. We try to motivate women to assume leading responsibilities. We want to enlarge the perception of female potentials and talents. And we want to crack up leading and behavioral patterns that are mostly characterized by men in our work environment up to now. And we want to display and further develop the existing expertise of women by doing that. So, and last but not least, we want to enhance the compatibility of family life and a professional career.
Thank you. That is actually a lot of things that you are doing and quite a few goals. What are you doing to achieve them?
We try to achieve those goals through our formats that Jasmin described earlier on and a close collaboration with human resources and diversity management, actually.
Can you share with our listeners some success stories and maybe also reveal in which area there are still big tasks to achieve?
We do not know these really big stories. It's more about the little steps we see and we are quite happy about them. So we have a few women that told us that because of the spirit in our network and the support, they took a heart and applied for a job, even if they did not fit 120% to this job. And they got this job. They are now quite successful in this job and happy to took the chance to develop. And another example of a colleague, she was working in part-time, and after one of our network sessions, she took a heart and said, well, perhaps it's also possible to be a leader in part-time. And she talked to her boss, and after some years, she got a new job, and now she's leading a team, and she's also really successful. And I think these two examples are a good picture of what are these small steps are for us in the network, but really big steps for our women in the network. And I think this is quite important for us.
Thank you, Jasmin. Do you think it is possible to make the equality of women within the company measurable to a certain degree?
Yes, in the first place, you can see it if you have a look at the amount of women in leading positions, not just management, but also in senior positions. And these numbers are published yearly in our sustainable report. And this is one of our main KPIs, I can say.
Since you have just mentioned the sustainability report, I have it here with me. It stated that in 2020, the group had 30.9% of women in management positions and 31.3% in supervisory boards. What do you think about these numbers?
Well, those numbers are rather stable over the last years within Talangs. They are not too bad, I think, but the long-term goal must be to mirror the diverse composition of society and the staff all over the company. These needs to be mirrored in the management boards. So we cannot be satisfied and stop here, I think. We need to do more. And I think the most important thing that we can do is to change the culture that we have. And we are right now in a cultural transformation, which plays for our side, because in the past we had this presence culture that you are only a good employee and a good manager if you are always on board. And I think that changed a lot in the last 2 years, mainly because of the pandemic, which was a real booster for the cultural change in this regard. And I think this is something that will allow more women to be able to take over leadership responsibilities. And it's not only the presence that plays a role here, but also the tone that is speaking in an environment that has been mainly influenced by men. There is more often a rough tone, and status plays quite a role, which is very unimportant for women who just want to change the things around them for the better without taking a major role within that environment. And I think this cultural change really will help us to get better numbers in the future.
With regard to other companies, why do you think so many companies tend to underestimate the added economic value of gender equality?
I actually don't think that people underestimate this. I think people just don't know how to change things. And I think all change needs time. And we need to find out what stands between diverse management and the figures we have right now, actually. And I think this is the difficult part. We need to find out what really helps women to take over responsibility in leadership positions and in, even in management positions. And this is difficult. It's not obvious. And even in our network, we had large discussions about why are we not taking over responsibilities? There are opportunities. Why don't we take them? And there are a lot of barriers that are also inside the head of the women that we need to overcome. Jasmin mentioned already that women always want to be 120% perfect, and they don't apply to jobs where they don't fit all the requirements. This is one barrier, I guess. But also it's the culture that I already mentioned, and also it's the time that they think. Many women, as we found out, think that the higher you come in the hierarchy of a company, the more time you need to invest, which is, I think, total bullshit. Can I say that in a podcast, actually? Sorry. Because it's not about the time you spend, but about the input you give. And the more we change this culture, the more women will get into higher positions, I think. And we need to work on that.
Jasmin, when you think about the future, is there a vision you have in mind? Where do you see the network in a couple of years from now?
So one of our main goals is to empower women. For us, it's important that women see their chances and also take their chances. In parallel, we also want to optimize and improve the conditions for women in our company. And this also means we want to use the power of our international company. So that means that we, for example, want to expand our German network to the Thailand's international network for women. In the end, all networking support each other, and the empowerment is the key to have better conditions for women in the future to take their chances.
Dear Caro, dear Jasmin, thank you so much for meeting with me today and for giving us insights about the network Women at Thalangs.
Thank you, Sally.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having us here.
To our listeners out there, thank you for listening to this month's episode. Until next time, take care.